What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 91. Today, we're going to be continuing our little series on kind of a supplement review. We're going to be talking about glutamine and its role in the body and whether or not you should be taking it or not. It's a very, you know, popular supplement out there. But first, a quick check-in. So, Tom, how's your week been?
Oh, it's been really good. So I just want to give everybody a little update. So I talked about how I got some paddle boards and I took my dogs out with them a few weeks ago on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I took them out again this last weekend and they were so much better. I won't say they like enjoyed it quite yet, but they're definitely okay with it. They just kind of chilled on the board the whole time. We went to some like little secluded beach. They were running around playing over there. I mean, they weren't crying, so I think they enjoyed it, or at least they didn't hate it this time. So, I mean, that's some progress, right?
It's progress, right? Yeah, exactly. It's a little small victories.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it for me. What's new with you?
Yeah, man, not much. Same old stuff. Like, I feel like the past 4 weeks I've been saying things are going to get better. You know, the quarantine's going to be lifted. Social distancing's going to stop. But honestly, I mean, things are still about the same. Like, not too many things have changed. But yeah, just spent this week looking up glutamine. And I've known not to say I've known a lot about glutamine for a while now, but my opinion on glutamine hasn't changed. You know, like I've felt like it's a wasted supplement for years now, but I was kind of tricked back in the day, just like I was with BCAAs, just like I was with, you know, pre-workouts and all that other stuff we used to take when you're teenagers and in our early 20s. You know, it's such a popular supplement that it's promoted so much that it has to be true. Like, the things that they say about it have to be true. Don't you feel that way? Like, everyone talks about, oh, glutamine's good for recovery. Glutamine's good for muscles. Like, it's talked about so much.
Yeah, well, all that stuff is true. It's just, it's really easy to get all your glutamine through your diet. So unless you're eating, like, a very, like, low-protein diet, you don't need a supplement with it. So, like, yeah, if you are eating, like, a really shitty diet, supplementing with glutamine will do a lot. But if you're not, like, if you're just eating a normal diet, you're fine. You don't need that glutamine supplement. It's not doing you any benefits.
But yeah, I don't want to bash, you know, glutamine that much, you know, because it is very important. It is the most abundant amino acid in the body. It does a million different things. But just the idea that supplementing with glutamine is going to add some, I don't know, 5 pounds to your bench or make you put on an extra 10 pounds of muscle is not true. And it's never been true. There's never been studies showing it. So I want to really show what glutamine is about. And why, you know, if you do take it, what's really going on in your body and why it's really not going to your muscles. So just to start off, what is glutamine? Glutamine is an amino acid. And if you don't know, amino acids are just building blocks for proteins, as well as honestly a bunch of other stuff in our body, things like neurotransmitters, hormones, stuff like that. Everything, damn near everything in our body is made up of proteins. And it can be produced by our body, but it's considered a conditionally essential amino acid because there are times when our body can't produce enough. So there's really three types of amino acids. You have essential, which you need to get from the diet. You have non-essential, which our body can't produce themselves. And then you have conditionally essential, which glutamine is, where in most cases, our body does produce enough from the other substrates it has to make enough glutamine that the body needs. But in certain situations, either in times of sickness, just poor diet, poor lifestyle, your body will not produce enough glutamine. And in that sense, you need to get glutamine from your diet. And just honestly look around just the world today. Most people are stressed. Most people are sick. Most people aren't living optimal life. So for most people, glutamine should be considered a conditionally essential amino acid, meaning you should get it from your diet. You know, you shouldn't rely on your body to really produce it itself. And I'm going to quote a lot of studies in this podcast. I'm going to link them on the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, so you can go through and read them. They're not like crazy studies, but just to show what the role of glutamine is. And I'll just, this is a quote here talking about why it's conditionally essential. So, quote, "The theory of conditionally essential glutamine during illness was based on observations that intestinal, renal, and immune cells utilize large amounts of glutamine exceeding the endogenous glutamine production, and that plasma and muscle glutamine levels are markedly reduced in these conditions," end quote. So that's what we're saying. People who are sick, people who are hurting, they need to get more glutamine than the body produces. And that's really why it's considered conditionally essential. And the primary role for glutamine is gut health. And people don't know that. It really is a waste of money for muscle building. Truly is. And I know that's why most people promote glutamine. You'll see it if you go to GNC, you go to vitamin shops or any sort of supplement store, there are going to be tubs of glutamine. And glutamine honestly isn't very cheap. It's almost damn near just as much as a protein powder, even though it's just one singular amino acid. But it's a waste of money if you're looking to gains. It's really not good for that. It's really there for gut health. And this is a quote outlining really what it does with the gut. So, quote, "Glutamine, the most abundant free amino acid in the human body, is a major substrate utilized by intestinal cells. In the gut physiology, glutamine promotes enterocytes proliferation, regulates tight junction proteins, suppresses pro-inflammatory signaling pathways, and protects cells against apoptosis and cellular stresses during normal and pathological conditions," end quote. So just to talk about that real quick, that's glutamine's primary role. Its primary role is in the gut.
It seems to do almost everything in the gut. It's that's like the major focus of it. So what glutamine is doing is it's responsible for creating the tight gap junctions that are in our gut. So that's made up of zonulin proteins. So that's very vital in our world today because almost everything is free with glyphosate. Glyphosate destroys our tight gap junctions. When your tight gap junctions are damaged or dysfunctional in any way, that leads to things like autoimmune disease, very bad, and that's something that's on the rise. So you want to make sure you have enough glutamine to repair all that damage. And another thing that it does is it's responsible for apoptosis and also cellular autophagy. That's breaking down old damaged cells. So you want to be making sure that you're getting out with the old and with the new. And that's one of the major things it does, is it's responsible for one of the first layers of our natural defense.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we can't stress enough how important keeping your gut intact really is. Because once your gut becomes permeable to like a very high level, meaning it allows various toxins through your gut, it allows various like food particles, like whole food particles, into your blood supply, which you're not supposed to be. It's your gut is technically outside your body, and then a healthy gut has enterocytes that kind of selectively pick what it wants in, what ions, what minerals, what vitamins, what macronutrients it wants into the body. But when these tight gap junctions become dysfunctional, like Tom said, either through glyphosate or through, there's plenty of other things that can damage them. Something like, people know wheat is pretty bad. Well, actually, I don't know. I know wheat's fucking terrible, but they're one of the reasons wheat's so bad is because of gluten. A lot of people know gluten. Gluten is very bad for tight junctions. It destroys them, leading to leaky gut, on top of wheat being sprayed with glyphosate pretty much everywhere in the world. So when those things get damaged, it causes autoimmune issues, and it's all bad. So keeping your gut intact is super important. So glutamine plays a huge role in that. And for like our total body, the gut uses about 30% of total glutamine in the body, which is a huge number. That's crazy. And this is a quote just talking about that. Quote, "Among the various tissues using glutamine at high rates, the intestines utilize about 30% of total glutamine, indicating that it is a key nutrient for the intestines," end quote. So the gut loves this stuff. So taking a dietary source, thinking it's going to your muscles, isn't true. It's really all going to your gut. And this is a quote just really talking about how much of the glutamine we eat goes to our gut. So, quote, "Studies in healthy adults have demonstrated that 3/4 of enterally provided glutamine," and enterally just means like fed through the mouth, like through the GI tract, is absorbed into the gut tissues. And most of the absorbed glutamine is metabolized within the intestine. 1/4 of the plasma glutamine, and that's glutamine in the blood that's actually got through, is taken up by small intestines when it passes the organ. So we're talking the vast, vast majority goes to your gut, not to your muscles. So to supplement with glutamine, thinking it's going to your muscles is just dumb. It's not true. And you might be thinking, why does the gut love glutamine so much? And it's because, well, there's a bunch of reasons, but one of the primary ones is the gut has such a high turnover. Tom talked earlier about autophagy and about apoptosis, which is about just programmed cell death, out with the old, in with the new. There's a high turnover of these cells. Every 3 or 4 days, the gut has all new cells, which is a crazy rate of turnover. And this is a quote talking about that. Quote, the mammalian intestinal lumen is lined with a single layer of epithelial cells. As these cells are renewed every 4 to 5 days, a continuously high level of cell proliferation is required to maintain homeostasis, end quote. So that's pretty crazy, man. Every 4 days, you have a whole new gut, pretty much. People don't think about that.
Yeah, that means like you have to make sure you're getting that glutamine in on a pretty regular basis because like you're constantly using it.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that makes it super important. And I do kind of see how it can lead to muscle building if like if you do have leaky gut or something like that, like you have your intestinal lining is damaged. If you do repair that, then you're going to be better absorbing the proteins and stuff like that and just absorbing more nutrients overall. So in that way, I can see how it can be beneficial, but it's only going to be beneficial if you're compromised and not like functionally optimally.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I never thought of it in that way, but that's very true. So something I say a lot is you aren't what you eat, you are what you absorb. And I know that's kind of, I don't know, people don't talk about it that way, but it's true. You know, people think, you know, if your gut doesn't absorb it, it does not going to be in your body. So you never actually ate it, you know?
Like fiber.
Yeah, exactly, like fiber in a roundabout way, you know? So, but yeah, if your gut is compromised and you don't absorb nutrients well, glutamine in that case could help with muscle building. Yeah, that's actually a very good point, but not directly. It's an indirect way, but yeah, that's true. And to talk about like autoimmune issues earlier and how our gut and our immune system are very closely linked. It's our gut pretty much is our immune system. The gut is considered the largest portion of our immune system. And things like our immune system, things like the white blood cells, use glutamine as a fuel source. And it's not just that glutamine is used as a fuel source and a source of building blocks for bigger proteins. It also activates the correct hormonal pathways that promote growth of new cells. Things like IGF-1, we've talked about that in the past. It's insulin-like growth factor 1 that promotes growth. That's what do you think you need when you have to replace all these cells every 4 days? You better have the proper signals to, like Tom said, create autophagy, get rid of the bad ones, and IGF-1 promote new ones. So glutamine acts on both ends of the spectrum. It kills the bad cells, and it promotes growth of new healthy cells, which is what you need from the gut. Especially if you're going to replace every cell every 4 days, you know?
Yeah, one thing I wish a lot of studies would replace the word growth with the word repair, because they pretty much mean the same exact thing, just repair sounds a lot better. It sounds a lot more beneficial than growth.
Yeah, growth, especially if you come from like a cancer perspective, has like a negative connotation.
Yeah, I mean, when I see growth, I either think of cancer or I think of just fat. And it's like if they put replace growth with repair instead, then it's like, oh, now I see the benefits of this. Now I see why this is actually working and a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And so we talked earlier about leaky gut, talked about how things like glyphosate, things like gluten and wheat can destroy those tight gap junctions in your gut. And it's been shown that low glutamine levels in the diet can lead to leaky gut. Here's a quote. Quote, restriction of glutamine in cell culture media significantly increase epithelial cell permeability, end quote. And that pretty much just means low glutamine cause these cells to allow more shit to get through them when they shouldn't, which is not what you want. It's not a good thing. So those tight gap junctions we talked about are proteins that keep the enterocytes, and again, those are just the cells that line our gut, very close together to prevent foreign bodies from entering our blood supply. And when those tight gap junctions are compromised, you have a very high chance of developing an autoimmune disease. And trust me, autoimmune diseases suck. When your body literally attacks itself, you feel kind of hopeless. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of, Like, who do you get mad at when your body's attacking itself? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the reason that this happens is glutamine is just it's like a signaling amino acid. So it's the most abundant amino acid out there. Like in most protein sources, majority of that protein is going to be glutamine. So if there's enough glutamine present in the body, then your body knows that it has the ability to do those repairs that we were talking about earlier. And with that, if it has those building blocks to make those repairs, then it knows it can repair, and then it also knows it can break down. But if you don't have glutamine, then it's not going to be breaking stuff down because it knows it doesn't have the new enough amino acids present to build new ones. So that's why it's not doing either one. So low glutamine is a very bad thing in this case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so low glutamine, or just glutamine in general, acts on both ends of the spectrum, like I said earlier. So promoting growth and promoting the breakdown of old things. And honestly, it's amazing what it all does. And to touch back on, I guess, the genesis of this podcast, really. So we just talked about what glutamine really does in the body. It's really, the vast majority of it goes to your gut to do a million different things. And it's very healthy for your gut. And it's a good thing. But how many people go to GNC and talk to the, you know, representative? Me and Tom Bosu, the work at GNC, not one person ever came in and said, hey, I have leaky gut, where's your glutamine? You know what I mean? That's not what it's promoted. It's promoted for like muscle gains. It's promoted for increases in physical performance. And there have been multiple studies looking at glutamine and increases in physical performance or increased recovery. And the results of these tests are not promising. Like, they're just simply not there. And here's a quote talking about a few of the studies. Quote, in one study, 31 people took either glutamine or placebo during 6 weeks of weight training. By the end of the study, both groups showed improved muscle mass and strength, which is to be expected. However, there were no differences between the two groups. Additional studies have also shown that it has no effect on muscle mass or performance. End quote. And here's another quote talking about it. Quote, there is no evidence that these supplements provide benefits for muscle gain or strength. End quote. And so it's just that they're out there. You know, those studies, pretty good studies, honestly, have shown that, you know, if you're just a healthy male weightlifting, it's good to weightlift or, you know, whatever, healthy male, female, whatever. But glutamine, adding glutamine to a regimen is not going to increase performance. It's just not. And that doesn't mean glutamine is pointless or not a good thing. It's just super important for a lot of different things, but taking it in hopes of increasing muscle size, it's just not going to happen. You know what I mean? You can spend your money better. You can be more wise with your money instead of spending $50 a month on a tub of glutamine.
I was so disappointed by the research on that because that's one of the, I'd say probably like second or third supplements that I got into, like, you know, after a protein powder.
Oh, for sure.
That was like one of the first things I got into.
Yeah.
And yeah, there is like very, very weak evidence at best supporting it.
And you would never know it, like I talked about earlier, just based on the narrative around glutamine. Everyone talks about it. And I talked last week when we were talking about BCAAs, how BCAAs are not, I don't know if I want to call them a scam, but the vast majority of people do not need to be taking BCAAs. And if you want to learn more about that, just check out last week's podcast. But you see it all the time. You know, you go into the gym, and a lot of these gyms now have, like, almost like their own little vitamin shop at the, like, you know, counters. You know what I mean? They sell their own supplements pretty much now. And everyone promotes BCAAs. Everyone promotes glutamine. And it's crazy that a lot of these companies, they promote, and they also promote, like, whey protein powders. So they'll tell you to take this whey protein powder and then take BCAAs and then take glutamine. And I'm like, does nobody understand that a whey protein powder is loaded with glutamine and loaded with BCAAs? Like, you're literally double dipping on all this shit, just wasting money. But no one seems to connect those dots, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the only way that they'd be beneficial is if you were, like, extremely deficient in all those to begin with, which is, if you're extremely deficient, like, you need to address your diet way before you're going into a GNC.
For sure, yeah. So a whey protein shake is about 20% glutamine, which is crazy high. So a normal shake for the vast majority of people is about 50 grams, like two scoops of a protein shake. That provides about 10 grams of glutamine, which is a lot. Most people throughout the day get maybe like 3 or 4 grams just eating, you know, no protein shake, stuff like that. And that's enough for our body to do what it needs to do. So getting 10 grams in one shake is plenty. You don't need to add more glutamine to it, trust me.
What also seems kind of odd to supplement with a conditionally essential amino acid, like, your body can make it. So if it has all the building blocks there and it has the signals to make it, it'll be making it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really need a supplement with something that your body can make, because if you do and your body's not getting the signals to use it, then it's not going to. So you're probably, most people are going to be at like max, like glutamine status anyway.
For sure. And I think the people, like we talked about earlier, who wouldn't be, are maybe people who are severely sick, someone with like sepsis, someone with like a burn, someone that honestly is just jacked up. In that case, man, getting a couple whey protein shakes a day, I think would be awesome. Getting a glutamine up would be awesome. But not too many people are in those conditions. Not too many people are bedbound in a hospital. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to a gym, you're walking, talking, most likely your body has enough glutamine to do what it needs to do.
Well, yeah, and those people that you're talking about, their primary like directive right there is they're focused on surviving. They're focused on just beating an infection. Like, that's the main thing they're worried about. They're not worried about muscle strength. They're not worried about muscle gain at that moment. It's more just like, hey, don't get infected. Don't get infected. And yeah, battling against infections, glutamine is great. But yeah, like building muscle, not so much.
Not so much, yeah. So I want to go through a few foods that are high in glutamine, or at least, you know, fairly high. So eggs are about 4.4% glutamine. Beef is around the same, 4.8. Milk is about 8%. Tofu is about 9%. And white rice is about 11%. This is like per 100 grams. And corn is 16% per 100 grams. And I specifically pulled white rice and corn because if you just think about it, corn has about four times as much glutamine per 100 grams via percentages compared to eggs. So eggs about 4%, corn about 16%. And I pulled that because if you Google high glutamine food sources, it is very, very misleading. And we both kind of, we talked about this earlier, how that's just, it's not, it's just, I don't know, don't you think it's kind of shady? Like, it's just not true.
Well, yeah, if you look at the percentage, corn looks like it's so much better than eggs.
Like,
so
we should just be eating corn all day.
So much better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you actually look at, like, how much glutamine are you actually getting per 100 grams, all the animal sources are way better. At least, like, two times better to, like, six times better in most cases.
Yeah, and that's because there's just so much more protein. Like, if you just take beef, for example, there's so much more protein in that 100-gram sample of beef than there is in the 100-gram sample of corn. Because there's just not a lot of protein in corn, sorry. And there's damn near no protein in rice. So to get the actual amount of glutamine needed to be, I don't know, beneficial, enough glutamine to actually, you know, meet the daily requirements your body has, you'd have to eat a ton of rice if you're not eating meat, or a ton of corn. And nobody honestly should do that. It's just not healthy. But no one should walk around eating 5 pounds of rice a day. You know, it would just be impossible.
Yeah, you could eat way more weight of eggs or beef than you could of corn or rice. I mean, especially corn. 100 grams of corn. Corn's pretty lightweight and it's like pretty dense. I don't know how many ears of corn that is, but that seems like a lot. I don't think you'll be able to get much more than 100 grams of corn in. But getting 100 grams of like beef, that's nothing. That's one hamburger patty.
Yeah, that's like literally one small hamburger patty, not even a big one.
Yeah, I mean, like, most people can easily take down two or three. I mean, people like me and you can take down a lot more than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm not going to take down more than 100 grams of corn. Like, that's so much.
Yeah.
So just like from a practical, just like the ability to actually do it. Like, yeah, you're getting so much more from animal sources. It's not even funny. I don't understand why they skewed the numbers to make it look like this.
Yeah, so don't be fooled by those, you know, Google high glutamine foods. It's true, based on percentages, that plants do have a higher percentage of glutamine in them, for the most part. But the total protein in plants, or in these plant samples that I pulled at least, are very low. So overall, the best quality sources of bioavailable glutamine are going to come from things like eggs, milk, and meat sources, you know, chicken, beef, pork, whatever, you know, you prefer. So that's how you really should be getting the bulk of your glutamine. And most people will. You know, that's just, like we said earlier, glutamine is the most abundant amino acid found. So most people are going to hit their glutamine, like, requirements no matter what. They don't have to try. They don't have to think about it. So that's it. The only people who might have a hard time hitting their kind of general glutamine requirements, not that, you know, like I said, it's conditionally essential. So our body can make it, but there are situations where they can't. Are kind of vegetarians, and you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, it's pretty much just talking about like what we just said, 100 grams of corn that's a lot of corn. There's so much fiber. You're probably going to get sick before you're really able to eat, because you'd want to get between 3 and 4 grams. So you would need to eat about 1,000 grams of corn to do that. That's a kilogram of corn. That's over 2 pounds of corn. I don't know how anybody could eat that much. Like, you would get sick. There'd be so much fiber there. Maybe you could do it one day, but you wouldn't be able to do that every single day of your life. I mean, just like there's a lot of corn in the world now, but like Mother Nature didn't really put that much corn out there. She didn't really support that type of diet. So it's just really just not natural. It's not practical. Do you really want to be eating that much corn? I feel like you'd be eating corn from the second you wake up to the second you go to bed.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, there'd be so many other problems that would go along with it.
Exactly. You know, do vegetarians eat cheese? I don't know now that I think about it. Does it depend?
It depends on, like, there's the ovo-lacto vegetarians, mm-hmm. which, like, they eat milk, cheese, eggs, stuff like that. It kind of just depends on where you fall.
Okay. So for those people, that'd be smart. You know, getting it from cheese is a great quality protein source. And if you obviously do milk and eggs, you'll be fine. So I would recommend being that type of vegetarian if you're not. But if you are, you know, pretty strict vegetarian or even a vegan, I mean, for sure, go listen to our podcast on all the nutritional deficiencies of a plant-based diet. But, you know, if that's your prerogative, maybe in that case, supplementing with a glutamine powder might be beneficial, especially if you're having some sort of gut issues. You know, you have whatever, autoimmune diseases, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, something like that. Supplementing with glutamine can be beneficial, but for the vast majority of people, I'm talking like literally 90% of people, supplementing glutamine is completely non-essential. It is a waste of money. You do not need it to build muscle. You do not need a supplement with extra to build muscle. You're not going to add, you know, 5 grams of glutamine to your protein shake, and now all of a sudden you're going to make all the gains in the world. It's not how it works. So for those gym goers out there who think glutamine is kind of like the secret, it's not. Trust me. If you have some autoimmune diseases, you have some gut issues, then maybe you can try supplement with glutamine, see if that helps. The studies out there showing benefits of glutamine supplementation for people who have gut issues are kind of mixed. There's some studies that show it's beneficial. There's some studies that show there's really no benefit. But that's kind of, you know, they just need to make better studies. That's all it is. And the thing is, who's making money off glutamine? Nobody. So I don't know how and when they're going to do better studies on glutamine. They probably won't, honestly. So that's something you're going to have to figure out yourself. But they've done studies on as low as 5 grams a day supplementation to as much as 50 grams a day supplementation.
And they
they both been found to be pretty safe. And so you can take, our body knows what to do with glutamine. Trust me. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be pretty hard to overdose on glutamine.
You know, that's one thing we didn't even touch on. One good thing about glutamine, and especially when you like how it is the most abundant amino acid in protein. So if you do consume a lot of protein during the breakdown of protein, you create ammonia. What does glutamine do? It helps out excrete more ammonia. So as you're consuming more and more protein, that extra glutamine is helping you excrete ammonia. So you're not going to have to get protein poisoning or something like that.
Yep.
So like our body has these defense mechanisms built in, just like these checks and balances. So that's another check and balance that glutamine does.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course our body's smart enough where it would use the most abundant amino acid to handle the negative byproducts of protein metabolism. Like, it makes perfect sense, perfect harmony, you know?
And yeah, I think it's like a perfect, like, fail safe in there.
Yeah,
just like
exactly.
That perfect signal.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, you're getting too much. All right, let's get rid of this.
Yep, exactly. And we talked about protein poisoning. I forget what the podcast was called. Protein starvation, rabbit starvation at some point.
Rabbit starvation or protein poisoning.
Yeah.
It means the same thing, even though those titles mean completely different things.
Yeah, so you can check back on the podcast library. We have a podcast on that, and
it
was a long time ago. Yeah, so it's probably in the 20s or 30s, but we did touch on the role of glutamine and how, like, glutamine has two nitrogens attached to it. Glutamate has one. So glutamine kind of has the capacity to kind of bounce back and forth with shifting kind of nitrogens around, and that's one of the ways it kind of balances urea and just the product of ammonia and all that type of stuff. So if that interests you, go back and listen to that podcast, because we talk about that there. That's too much to talk about here. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist of this podcast. I wanted people to know, don't waste your money on a glutamine supplement. That's the gist of it. Don't take it. You don't need it. And that's it. Anything else you want to say?
Pretty much I agree like 100%. I would just add that the only people that should maybe consider taking extra glutamine would be, like how you said, vegetarians. But instead of taking glutamine, you're probably like deficient in multiple amino acids. So you're probably better just taking either an essential amino acid blend or just a protein in general, because like you're going to need many amino acids, not just one.
Yeah.
And then like the community that might actually benefit from it are just people that just got surgery or they're some other sort of compromise where they're worried about an infection because they have a big cut on their arm, they have a big burn, something like that. That's when it is beneficial. So like when you are trying to repair, try and heal yourself, it's beneficial that way. But as far as going to the gym, yeah, you're 100% right. There's little to no benefit, at least so far from the evidence.
Yeah, from the evidence so far. Yeah, exactly. All right, that's another podcast in the books. Thank you for listening. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please feel free to show your support for the podcast. Rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.